Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 8. You'll find it on the, in the Pew Bibles on page 895. John chapter 8, we're going to read from verse 48. And we'll deal with most of those verses, but we'll focus on one specific verse, which I believe is the essence of what we want. So the theme overall for this portion is the Jewish leaders confronting Jesus, and you may be confronting Jesus, or you may be confronted by Jesus. And then the hope is in this specific verse that we're going to pay attention to with the other verses supporting that central theme. So let's read from verse 88, or 48, verse 48 of John chapter 8. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." There's our central verse. "Truly, truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." From verse 52. The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Ask a quick question. Who of you would like to die? Not a threat. So, you all know, those who lifted your hands, although just, shyly, know the answer. And the answer is, well, we're looking forward to everlasting life. But death in itself is something that most people dread. And everlasting life is something that most people want. I read an article, don't judge me, the Sun newspaper, I just read one article, recently on the 17th of January this year, and the headline is, "Eternal Life, Do You Want to Live Forever?" And then they quote what they call an esteemed futurologist, Dr. Ian Pearson, and he told the Sun newspaper that you just have to make it to 2050 in order to live forever. I can see some of us don't have any hope, right? Because you have to be under 40 just to make it. But then he adds, so he says, if you are under 40 reading this article, you are probably not going to die unless you get a serious disease. I would add, unless you get a serious disease or run into a criminal with a gun, or drive in the roads with taxis, or. All the normal reasons for dying is still there. So the article then goes on and it explains some of the options that you have if you should last until that time. They say you can live in a robotic body. That'll be fun. You can have your organs replaced by 3D printed body parts. Also sounds good. Or, this is amazing, you can have your mind live in the cloud and then choose a younger body to invade. Well, what happened to that body? How did you get it? But the truth is, there is an option whereby you can cheat death. So is immortality even achievable? Yes, it is. And those of you who did this with your hands, all of you who belong to Jesus Christ can lift your hands with confidence. But I'm going to explain you why. So who can give you eternal life? Can surgeons give you eternal life? No. Scientists? No. Presidents? Definitely not. Only one can. Jesus can. And Jesus says that he can guarantee that you will not see death. John 8 verse 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. How's that for a promise? So if you put it a bit differently, we can say the simple but profound truth is that if you want to live forever, you have to obey the words of Jesus. It's a one-line contract. We see in these verses, verse 48 to 59 of John 8, that Jesus says, in summary, believe me when I say that you have that I have the answer to everlasting life. Believe me when I say that I have the answer. And you don't have to be under 40 to qualify for that. So in this portion of Scripture today, we have three glorious facts about Jesus that gives us a guarantee of everlasting life. We see that Jesus is priceless, we see that Jesus is timeless, and we see that Jesus is boundless. Priceless, timeless, and boundless. So hold on to your seats, we're going to fly through this. First one, Jesus is priceless, John 8 verse 49 to 55. We're not going to read it again, we'll go through it as we refer to it. But you may want to keep your finger there and just check if what I say actually makes sense, all right? And then come tell me afterwards if that is true. So we see that after the Jews call Jesus a Samaritan and say that he has a demon, Jesus responds simply, I do not have a demon. You see that he doesn't even answer the accusation of a Samaritan. Where did they get it? Well, they accused him of associating with the Samaritans. Guilty. He was guilty of that. But it's not against the law. It's a man-made law. So he doesn't even answer that. He goes to the demon. Where did they get that? Well, they accused him previously of having a demon when he claimed to be who he is. I do not have a demon, he simply says. And then he counters that argument with a statement. But instead of having a demon, I honor my Father. So I don't honor a demon. I honor my Father. And you dishonor me. So if anyone here has a demon, guess who it is? The implication. You are dishonoring the Father that you so enthusiastically claim to serve. And then he says, yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. So what is Jesus saying here? He is saying, I'm not trying to increase your perception of me. The value I have is not in whether you like me or appreciate me or believe me. Jesus says, my value, my price tag is determined by the Father. I don't know if you're at all interested in America. I think some of us are only interested in Mobile, Alabama, as far as America is concerned. But I enjoy following what's happening in America because it has an influence on the world. And I enjoy seeing the Lords being involved in politics and organizing world economy, and global warming is not a concern for him at all. But this year, 2020, is the American election for president. So President Trump is still there, and they believe they're going to win. And the Conservative Party, the Republicans, are not putting up another president, so they want him there for another 3 years. But the Democrats are a bit in a turmoil. So they've got a number of candidates. At one stage, there were 25 that were saying, I want to be president. No, pick me. I want to be president. So now there are 4 front runners, and each one of them are on this campaign trail. So they try and get people to vote for them by saying things that they think are profound. So what they also want to do is they want people to support them, important people, and they call it endorsement. So someone of importance will say, I now like Bernie Sanders. I'm going to support him. I'm going to vote for him. So you should also vote for him. That's an endorsement. But if I'm now going to write an endorsement for one of those candidates, people will say, who? What? It won't mean anything. But if the previous president, Barack Obama, would bring out an endorsement, you will see that specific candidate who is endorsed by him, his popularity will jump. John 8, verse 54, Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. The Father endorses Jesus Christ. That's where his value comes from. Priceless. I'm not trying to please you, Jesus says. My goal is to please my Father. And my Father will not only value me, he will also judge everyone who does not value me. So how does the value of Jesus, his price tag, guarantee eternal life then? Well, because Jesus is not trying to just sell you something. Jesus does not have a hidden agenda. Jesus cannot be bought. Jesus cannot be bribed. Jesus cannot even be tempted. The devil tried and he failed. And Jesus is not making this promise of everlasting life just to get your attention or your vote or to make you happy. He's not doing it to impress you. Jesus proves that he is priceless because he does not do what you think he needs to do. He does what he does in order to gain the praise of the Father. Not to get your praise. Not to be valued by man. And Jesus declares, my Father must be happy with me. And guess what? He is. We've got that recorded, right? The Father is happy with Jesus. 2 Peter 1 verse 10. We see Peter remembering his own eyewitness account of the glorification of Jesus Christ. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. What an endorsement. The Father places a price tag on Jesus by saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When Jesus then says to the Jewish leaders in the temple, I place no value in your opinion, I place value in the Father's opinion of me, and he knows what my value is. And Jesus is making that value very clear in John 8 verse 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Many people on their deathbed would give everything that they ever owned to live. How valuable is that? Priceless. The value of Jesus, his price tag, is priceless because obedience to his word leads to deathlessness. Only the words of Jesus brings immortality. Earlier in John's gospel, we read this in John 6, verse 67 and 68. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. Literally, it means only you have the only words of eternal life. Dear friend, whose approval do you need? Whose opinion of you gives you value? Well, it should be the Father. And the agreement is simple. Truly, truly, Jesus says, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Obey the word of Jesus equals no death. So here's a side application, but it's very important, and I think it's worth mentioning. In Christ, you and I have all the approval we could ever need. We are adopted children of God, loved by God, despite our actions, despite of the profile of my nose, despite the condition of my kidneys, despite the sins that I committed even in this week. That is the praise, the approval we truly need. But many of us struggle so deeply with thinking we need the approval of man. That's why so many people are so obsessed with social media. We love the like, don't we? We want the like. We post and we can't wait for someone to like. I'm going to get that like. Maybe I should change this word and add this picture or make this joke. Then I'll get the likes. How many likes did I get today? Immediate approval by man that we want. And oh, how we may despair when we don't get those likes, especially if he or she got more likes than I did today. We care so much what people think. Jesus cares what the Father thinks. And this is why we can believe him when he says, keep my word and you will never taste death. Believe in me, he says, and never die spiritually, though you die physically. Jesus is priceless. That brings us to reason number two. Why can we trust Jesus when he says we will have everlasting life? Because he is timeless. Not only priceless, but timeless. John 8 verse 58. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." A bit technical, so you know, make sure that you're awake and you're with me. If you need me to tell a joke, just raise your hand. No, we are ready to continue. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." This verse is really the climax to this whole discussion that Jesus had with the leaders in the temple. And we've had a number of sermons about that discussion. It's outlandish. It's extreme. It's explicit because he claims who he is, really, and it's the first time he does this in John. It's the highest claim that he can make. But just before this statement that he made of before Abraham was, I am, Jesus told the Jewish leaders that even Abraham rejoiced in the anticipation of the day of Jesus. And so the Jews, not understanding this, respond to him in verse 57, "You are not yet 50 years old." So okay, don't be too harsh on the Jews. You know? I mean, if you had been there, you probably would have wondered what this guy was talking about. "Not yet 50 years old, and yet, have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Just note the number of points that Jesus makes in this statement. He is saying that he was in fact there before Abraham was even born. 2,000 years before this meeting in the temple. Jesus was indeed there before Abraham was born. And Jesus is also clearly using the name that Yahweh, God, used for himself in Exodus 3 verse 14. There God called himself, "I am who I am." And then he said to Moses, "Go tell my people I am." So Jesus is claiming that name for himself. Even more clear is that Jesus is claiming eternal existence because of the tense that is used. C.K. Barrett, a professor of divinity at the University of Durham, he paraphrased these words of Jesus like this. He said, "Before Abraham came into being, I eternally was, as now I am, and ever continue to be. There never was a time when I was not. He was always and eternally been in existence." The physical death that you and I and every human being are so afraid of, that death is an ending that implies a beginning. Well, guess what? Jesus did not have a beginning. He has always existed. He's timeless. The very well-known and profound answer to the question of who God is simply is, "I am." And Jesus claims to be God. And no wonder the Jews wanted to stone him, because that was the law. It's blasphemy in their eyes. God created time, and he created that time, but he's not limited by that time. God is literally the only person in the universe who has all the time in the world. Psalm 90 verse 2. "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." And Jesus is clearly saying not only that he was there and that he has existed eternally before Abraham, but also that he is not bound by time. And the present tense in his statement is used with very specific intent. Before Abraham was, past tense, "I am," present tense. As in, to translate it, "I am now there at that point in time before Abraham was." Do you understand that? So here, as we stand here today, Jesus is at the same time also there before Abraham was born. He's there. Kostenberger, a research professor at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, puts it like this. Jesus does not simply say, "Before Abraham was, I was," which would simply mean that he is more than 2,000 years old. Rather, he uses the present tense, "I am," in speaking of existence more than 2,000 years earlier, thus claiming a transcendence over time that could only be true of God. End quote. Jesus was not only 2,000 years old, he is there 2,000 years ago now. Albert Einstein clever guy, said, the only reason for time is so that everything doesn't happen at once. He got it. You and I are bound by time. We may be able to speed up our perception of time by sleeping or keeping busy, but we have no power to slow time down or to speed it up. We have no power to stop time or work and act outside of the boundaries of time. But Jesus is timeless. If Jesus is not bound by time, nor anything else, what in the universe could stop him from fulfilling his promise to you that you will not see death? My friend Mel, there in Pretoria, we went to visit them last week, diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I can say to Mel, you don't have to fear death. Because the fact that Jesus is timeless means that Jesus is now already standing there where you will leave this life. He's ready waiting for you. He is there now. You can die at any time. He's there. Jesus has the history of the universe as his testimony for his trustworthiness. When everything else in the world fails you, Jesus won't. When everything else in the world fades, Jesus won't. When everything else in the world changes, Jesus doesn't. When all of us and everyone in the world runs out of time, Jesus doesn't. When everything else dies, Jesus doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not even time has authority over him. If you don't recognize him as your personal savior, it is time that you do. If you are a Christian already, then know this. Jesus, who is timeless, is already waiting for you at each and every point where you will experience trouble in this life. Every point of joy. He's there. He is continuously and has been making sure throughout every moment of time to get you to that point where he wants you to be. He is also here now, making sure that you take the next breath. One breath closer to the last one. At the last moment of your time. Last point, Jesus is boundless. John 8, verse 59. I must say, of all the profound things that are in these few verses, this one is the one that encourages me the most. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. One of my favorite animated movies is The Incredibles. Who of you have seen The Incredibles? I love The Incredibles because it's total fiction. And you have this family with superpowers. And they each have their own superpower. So if you had to choose now today, if someone would ask you, what superpower would you want? Okay, this family had a lot. We have Mr. Incredible who had super strength. I'd like that. You had Dash, the son, who had like super fast speed. He could run up a wall, up down the ceiling without... because of the momentum that he's had. He can run on water. That's how fast he is. Then you had super stretchy Mrs. Incredible. I mean, she can stretch her fingers through the keyhole and open the door from the inside while standing outside. She can rescue the whole family by creating a parachute with her body. That's how stretchy she is. And then there's Violet, the daughter, who can make herself invisible or create a protective shield for the whole family. And then you've got Jack, the baby, who's got like incredible powers. He can flame up and become a heavyweight and all sorts of things. Don't want him as a child, so Lisa, careful what you name your child. Well, Jesus does not need superpowers. In fact, if there would be a family like the Incredibles, they would have received their power from Jesus. Here Jesus shows some of his superpowers. He like vanishes. They're ready to throw stones. Now remember, this is in the temple. The leaders are there, lots of people around. They've got the temple guard on the ready, and they're ready to stone him. I mean, they've got their eyes on him, right? He just vanishes. We don't know how he did it. He could have blinded them, could have caused smoke to happen, or could have just vanished. He didn't need an invisibility cloak, like that book that we're not supposed to read, remember? When the temple leaders wanted to kill him, he merely hid himself and went out of the temple. No big bang, no smoke and mirrors, just removed himself. Because the time wasn't right. Nothing can hold Jesus. not the self-serving leaders of the temple, not the aggression and abilities of the temple guard, not even the might of the Roman army. Nothing can stop Jesus from saving you and giving you eternal life. When the enemies of Jesus eventually caught up to him and killed him, he allowed them to do that because it was time. And he chose to be bound because of his promise. Jesus chose to die. He could have escaped from that cruel cross in any of many ways. I thought just of a few. He could have caused the nails to melt or just vanish or crumble. He could have caused the wood of the cross just to rot instantly. He could have called the angels to come and rescue him. He was even dared by the Jews to do that. He didn't. Instead, the giver of everlasting life chose to give his life for you. So that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that another way of saying, keep my word, and you will not see death? Here, the time was not right. He vanished. He hid himself. Nothing can bind him. Nothing can stop him from fulfilling this promise. Jesus is priceless. He is timeless. And he is boundless. So let me try and conclude and give us something that we can discuss over coffee. The only two possible fathers we heard last time from Keith, from the previous portion of the Gospel according to John, chapter 8. Only two fathers. God, the father of light, who gives us truth and life, and the devil, the father of lies, who is a murderer, who will cause your death. So if, like the Jewish leaders, you ignore the word of Jesus, then you, like the Jewish leaders, will be judged by God for rejecting his son. And then your father is the devil. The word of Jesus brings everlasting life. Ignoring or trashing the word of Jesus guarantees everlasting death. And I want to remind you that according to the Bible, death is not nothing. It's not nothingness. Death is not lifelessness. Death is godlessness. And you can be set free from the bonds of sin and death by the boundless Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. We sang the song, but I want to end by reading the verses, and if you want to join in and sing the refrain, you're welcome. The song was written by a Methodist lady by the name of Alvina Hall. In 1865, they were practicing in the choir, and she took a hymn book, and on the fly leaf of the hymn book, she wrote the words, and that was later edited by her pastor, just to add some more verses, and by the choir master. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let's pray. Our Father, how can we not be overwhelmed by the beauty and the value, the timelessness and the boundlessness of Jesus Christ? O Lord, that you would save many because of who Jesus is, and that we may realize again that value, that we may live lives that will portray that character even better, and that of us would be said, we serve an awesome God, and for that reason, we do what we do. We come together in worship. We pay attention to the sins in our lives, and we fight it with all that we can in order to honor that wonderful character, that wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to honor you more. Amen.